I'm ready. Light ass duck out a little early, but I'm
still doing the sitting over at the Boys and Girls Club in a room over there somewhere. Where they got you?
That's right.
There,
yeah.
A little room over there.
Yeah.
You got good accommodation. You got a window or anything?
Well, actually, you should stop by. It's huge.
Really? Maybe I'll move my office room and I can rent my room out.
Bigger than? Oh yeah. I got my own conference room. I got two.
Oh, conference room.
Table, not quite as big as this, but almost.
Oh, isn't that nice?
I have a queue.
The important people.
Yeah.
Yeah, important people. You got that right.
Okay, put the queue back in his name.
Okay, folks, it's 6 o'clock. We're going to call the meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Jeff Gentz.
Here.
Ron Frederick.
Here.
Ed Kabicki.
Here.
Jeff Wamble.
Here.
Monica Yuhas.
Here.
David Sullivan.
Here.
John Franco.
Here.
John Cargill. Carly Voice.
Here.
Yeah. Let the record show John is excused. He did call in. Mm. At this time, we will open this meeting up to citizens' comments. Any citizens wishing to speak? Any citizens wishing to speak? Any citizens wishing to speak? Seeing none, citizens' comments are closed. We'll move on to item 3. Human Services, resolution to modify the Division of Health's 2021 budget with American Rescue Plan Act ARPA funding designated for public health. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, supervisors of the committee. So
you can remove that for clarity of speech if you want.
If I prefer to keep it on, I have three children at home that can't get vaccinated.
You can do whatever. You can do whatever you want. I'm just offering it to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
As long as we can hear you.
Let me know if you cannot.
You will, believe me.
I have a very loud voice. Apologies last time. I got very sick, not COVID, but the other viral thing that was going around. So I'm here tonight to talk about the three different pots of money that we did not apply for as a health department. The state received several pots of money that they broke up by population. So this is money that is then coming down to the local level. So none of these are ones that I applied for or that the health department applied for. This was money that, through their algorithm that they broke down, that will be coming to Kenosha County. So the first one is the only one that is associated with ARPA. And on the handout, does everybody have a handout that we passed around?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a little over $1 million for 3 years. This is both to help with COVID response, as it's currently still going on, and with recovery. So how we get our public health programs back up and running. So some of the things that we are looking at for this particular funding source is further establishing our Patagonia electronic medical record system. That is a replacement medical record system for the health department. And so this is $400,000 for some interfacing. We also have some of our lab instruments that are reaching the end of their useful life. That's typically 10 to 15 years. And so we're looking at improving or getting new systems for that at $150,000. We are in need of a medication dispensing unit for each of our two clinics, and that will help as we, our nurse practitioners are distributing Vivitrol, contraceptives, antibiotics, so to make sure that we are not making any errors or having any liability issues when we are dispensing medicine. And then the rest is really as far to hold into reserve to cover COVID testing, vaccine, other recovery efforts as they come along. We have to make this money stretch for 3 years. We don't know where the pandemic will go. And so it's really a pool that we can pull from as we need for the rest of the pandemic. Also in addition, that last bullet there is that we'll evaluate any additional capital costs that can be covered by this in order to avoid future bonding purchase needs.
Bless you.
The second section in the middle there is a separate pot of funding that is not ARPA associated, that is vaccination funding. It's $238,000, a little over, for 3 years. So this has a very specific cost to doing vaccination efforts. So the actual cost to administer vaccine reimbursement, time, supplies. We already have costs incurred, a little over $1 million. that, or I mean, I'm sorry, 100,000 that are eligible for reimbursement from this pot of money that we have incurred through the fall and even some of the summer vaccine missions that we have. And then other avenues we're looking at, such as having a dedicated nurse that can help us with these mobile missions, and looking at our EMTs and the fire department to, we have approached them, they're in part of our response planning. It's always a matter of overtime costs for them to be able to help us with vaccination. So that is the second pool. The third funding source down at the bottom is specific to workforce development. This comes from the CDC, and this is for workforce development for the health department. Largely, it is surrounding all things as far as communicable disease, which I just want to make clear is a statutory requirement. Of all the things the health department does, this is the top statutorily required activity of all health departments in the country, that we must follow up on all communicable diseases, whether that be tuberculosis or measles or COVID-19. So this is really to help us continue with that team of people, the contact tracers, the disease investigators, to ensure that they can help us sustain what we need to do statutorily throughout the rest of the pandemic. And a typical disease investigator can cover about 4 to 6 cases per day. As a disease investigator gets more astute, they can get up to about 10 a day. We are still in the process of onboarding and training several that we have hired as part-time. And so based on the daily positive case count, right now we have come down lower. We're able to maintain 100% of our caseload. In this last wave we just had over the last 2 months, we had difficulty maintaining our statutory requirement due to the high caseload. So this will allow us to flex with the caseload.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Supervisor Frederick, and then Supervisor Uhas. Supervisor Frederick.
What does a disease investigator do?
Great, so a disease investigator, when there's a statewide system that lets us know whenever there's a communicable disease. So if you go to your physician or your hospital, they test you, those lab results come to us by law, and so that we can mitigate. So the disease investigator will call somebody who's positive for COVID, and they will ask, you know, how are you feeling? When did your symptoms start? Who lives in your household? Who have you come in contact with? So we can determine the contact tracing, who needs to be isolated, who needs to be quarantined, and then to give them the instructions. A lot of times it's the clinical questions that they're asking our nurses that are on the phone to say, I'm feeling this way, or I'm worried, or when do I need to go to the hospital? Those sorts of things. So it's usually a one-time phone call. Sometimes it's the family calling back to get further questions or to ask what they need to do because now another family member got sick. So it's really like one-on-one nurse case management.
Thank you.
Supervisor Uhas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. Freiheit, how many disease investigators do we currently have on staff?
We currently have 12.6 FTE.
Okay.
Many of them are part-time and some very, very part-time. But that's what we have right now.
Yeah, so they all aren't working 40 hours a week. Some might be working less than 20 or even 10 hours a week, depending on the caseload that's coming to them. So.
And I would just like to say that I think they're doing a phenomenal job. When you do talk with a disease investigator, I thought it was very impressive that they asked, are you in a safe environment? I was floored by that.
We incorporate holistic response to public health.
Do you need groceries? Do you need a thermometer? Do you have access? It wasn't just about COVID. It was about the safety of the environment you're in as well and what can be done to help you during this time. So I just wanted to say I was very impressed with that. So I wanted to pass that along.
Thank you.
Anything else, Supervisor Uhas?
No. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions, comments? Supervisor Kubicki.
Thank you. Doctor, I'm reading here in the COVID-19 vaccination funding. in your second paragraph there, funding will continue to fund vaccination endeavors moving forward, especially for the underserved and under-vaccinated communities. Tell me how we're doing that right now, please.
Great. So we spent a lot of time in the early days. We were at churches such as Grace Lutheran. We've been doing barbershops on Fridays. We have mobile missions where we're literally doing a block-by-block, door-knock-by-door-knock mission to get out into the community. It has been really, really well received. We're only out for an hour or two each week, and people are floored, and they say, I can't believe county government is on my porch and that you're here to help serve. And we're not just doing COVID vaccinations. We have all sorts of other pamphlets about our home visiting programs and STIs. And so we're really sort of doing a public health door knocking mission that has been very well received.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions from the committee? Supervisor Salaberry.
Thank you. Just dovetailing off of Supervisor Kubicki's question, does the second allocation overlap with looking at the first on approximately $623,000? Is there some of the same money being used to accomplish the same goal there?
At this point, no. But as you see, that second line is only $238,000, and so far, over half of it, almost half of it, might be used. So if we do end up spending that, then yes, we can use the ARPA money to help continue vaccination efforts.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the committee?
Move to approve.
I'll second.
It's been moved by Supervisor Frederick, seconded by Supervisor Kubicki. Is this a pool? This is a pool of money that we can tap into, or was this designated to us specifically? Can you talk a little bit about how this was created and how we're able to tap into it?
Sure. So the feds send the money to the state health department. The state health department plugs it into an algorithm that includes largely population based, and then they filter it pass through to the local health department. So each of these different pools had their own algorithm that they have then passed through to us.
All right, so they've said you can get X amount of dollars for these 3 years, over these 3 years. And it's not once every 3 years, it's over all 3 years.
Over the 3 years.
You get it and you can spend it, use it over 3 years.
Correct.
So they told you what that number was.
Correct.
Okay. My second question is, when we get a temporary RN in, and we do it for 1 year, what happens at the end of that 1 year?
Then they're out.
I mean, are we going to get an RN that's going to want to come to work for us for 1 year?
So we have seen many that do that. So far, all of our disease investigator RNs are temporary workers. Unfortunately, health departments across the country, we're 58% grant funded. So 58% of our people at any given point in time know that their position could be ending at the end of a grant. It's unusual, but in public health, it's status quo. That's how we operate. So when people get hired during the interview process, we let them know right away, this is a temporary job or this is a grant funded job. When the money's gone, unfortunately the position is gone. So they come in knowing that.
The reason you're here tonight is because we wanted to see a plan, and we wanted to see a little more how this money was going to be used. I'm very pleased with what you've laid in front of me. So it does answer my questions as far as how this is going to be laid out and used, because anytime, no matter what it is, whether a grant or whatever, we want to be fiscally responsible and know that the money is being spent in the right places, no matter where it comes from. So I do appreciate that. There is, in the first one, there's $623,000 to be held in reserve. That almost could be in the second one. Because in the second one, you're talking about reserves or what could happen in the future. So I would just ask that as you use this for a blueprint, I would ask that you come back to us in 6 months, 8 months, and tell us how this is looking and where this is going, and save a copy of this and then show us how it's went.
Absolutely.
Can you do that for
Absolutely.
Us?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Any questions from supervisors in the gallery? Seeing none. All right, we have a motion on the floor that's been seconded. Any last chance at discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? This passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you all for coming.
We'll be adjourned.
It's been moved by Supervisor Frederick, seconded by Supervisor Juhas to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Anybody want to stay? All right, we're adjourned. Thank you. You can do whatever you want.